Mr. Jones, how do you vote?
I vote no.
All the others in favor signify by raising your hand. Mr. Tucker, Mr. Gardner, Mr. Burns, and opposed here is Mr. Brazel. Mr. Brazel and Mr. Jones are in the negative, Mary, so we had the vote and motion passes 3-2.
Dirty deeds, don't catch you. Dirty deeds. Dirty deeds and they're done dirt cheap.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Kershaw County Liberty Report. This is an idea that me and Jeff came up with just a few weeks ago. There's an obvious lack of integrity in the reporting. And hell, there just isn't any reporting on what's actually happening in our county government and around Kershaw County.
There's the Camden Chronicle, Matthew.
The Camden Comical, yeah, as everybody refers it to.
Yeah, like Martin Kahn does yeah. All the reporting.
So I have it right here. I mean, I'm a patron, I guess you would say, of them.
So what's on the show, Matt?
Today, what we're going to discuss is the final county council meeting of 2022.
The end of the era of the Julie Burns... Yeah.
Good riddance.
What
to
do you call that?
His reign of
the
terror.
The reign of terror.
here's the thing about Julian Burns that we can talk about real quick. I think that he honestly feels like he's doing the right thing for this county. I think in his heart of hearts, he feels like he was doing the right thing.
I think he does. I really do.
And that just shows how corrupt that man is and down to his bones.
Well, the whole thing is that the progressives, mm-hmm. This whole progressive era for the last 110, 120 years,
yeah,
since before Woodrow Wilson even, has been this government daddy thing.
Yeah.
Where we all get dependent on it and all, mm-hmm. and government is supposed to do, build parks, build, control the economy,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Pick and choose yeah. winners and losers, and it doesn't matter about principles of debt or being true to your principles of not stealing
are no principles anymore.
There are no principles
in government.
It's the Marxist theory of the ends justify the means.
Right.
And so, like a hospitality tax, mm-hmm. the ends are that we're going to build sport complexes and Revolutionary War parks and swamp parks, and it's going to draw tourism. And everybody's going to prosper from it.
Right.
And it doesn't matter that you're going to steal from everybody, and it doesn't matter the unintended consequences, the businesses that are hurt by it, or any of that.
Yeah.
That's what Marxism is.
And the tyranny by inches, you know, that they're going to move forward an inch at a time. And when we start to squeal, they're going to take an inch back. We'll step back 2 inches.
Yeah.
I mean, they've already come a half a mile by the time people start squealing.
The tiptoe to tyranny.
Tiptoe to tyranny. There you go. Also, we're going to talk about things discussed in the meetings. We're kind of going to do a pre-meeting show and maybe a post-meeting show.
Yeah.
And some other stuff in between.
The issues that affect the people of Kershaw County.
Right.
What your local government is doing, but what your state and federal government, and
sure.
in fact, indeed, what the world government is going to do to you that's going to affect you.
Yeah.
You know, why are the price of everything at Food Lion going up? Yeah. Well, that's not really a minutia that the county council might handle,
yeah.
but it is at the Federal Reserve and Congress spending $38 billion over there in Ukraine and all.
Right.
That affects us.
That's a macro level. And
right.
what I like to focus on is the micro level,
and that what happens here in our county, our local county government, you could expand that out and on a global scale and say, oh, well, the World Economic Forum is controlling property. They want to control property and what you eat, what you spend your money on, or if you say the wrong thing, they'll turn your cryptocurrency off and you can't buy food this month, this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So,
and the whole world's headed toward a social credit system.
Absolutely.
Which is coming here.
Australia.
And the real start close. Of it, the start of it was the Real ID Act.
That's it. Yep. Which I don't have the real
ID. I don't have the real ID either. I know a lot of people.
You
know,
you won't be able
to
fly on a plane. I'm like, oh, that's a crying shame.
Well, I'm not flying on a plane and get felt up anymore.
I'm going to go get molested by TSA and fly somewhere. I love this country. Why would I want to go anywhere else? So things we're going to discuss today, the fee in lieu of taxes debate, the Revolutionary War dead that were found, the sewer debt that we took on. I think that's about it. You got anything else to add to this intro, Jeffy?
Well, also maybe the Julie Burns goodbye.
Yeah, we'll do that. We'll say goodbye to
maybe Mr. to Burns. close the show out. We can get Julie Burns' version of what went on, and then we can get our version.
That's right. I was there at the meeting. You were there, and then there was the voice from American Legion. You had the DNR, the bass. They did this big long study on Lake Wateree about why nobody can catch bass out there. Come to find out, y'all just need to be better bass fishermen. There's plenty of fish in there. The guy was like, I guess they need to change their lures or something. I don't know.
But anyway, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Let's get started.
Let's do it.
So I guess what we'll do is we'll go kind of in chronological order. We're going to kind of skip the public comments. Matt, your public comment, War and the Racket. If you hadn't gone back and watched that one was wonderful. But Matt got up at the public hearing. I figured I'm not even going to bother, but Matt's got a good little speech. Let's listen to this just a minute.
I'm here to speak out against the policy of a fee in lieu of taxes in general. As a small business owner myself, I think the last thing I would do would go to the government and ask for money or a break. This company was established here in South Carolina. I think it was incorporated in 2021. I've been looking and trying to find out some information about this company. It was a little hard to find. They're owned by another group and that sort of stuff. That's kind of how business is done, I guess, these days. With multi-million dollar corporations. I'm glad the building, that empty building is getting filled up with somebody. It's been sitting up there, bought and paid for by the tax dollars of Kershaw County citizens. I'm glad somebody bought it and moved in. Hopefully they hire people from Kershaw County, but there's no telling with that. I mean, they probably need some qualified individuals coming from somewhere else. This ties in with my last comment about War is a Racket. I think one of their biggest customers is the U.S. government for polymers and frames for weapons. So this is pretty ironic that they are the ones who came here to Kershaw County, signed this deal with the boondoggle up on the hill. I'm just excited about the new council coming in. Hopefully we'll have a change of policy on the fee in lieu of taxes, that we will stop selling ourselves out and keep our county rural as all of us love it, us citizens. We want it to stay rural. So thank you.
What do you think? I think you did a good jam-up job.
Yeah, so it just came, you know, on the fly. I didn't know what I was going to say when I went up there, but it just seems, what's the word, apropos, that our outgoing chairman is part of the military-industrial complex, and he pushed so hard for this company specifically to move into that building to get this philo.
Well, we remember, he was instrumental. Him and Sammy were instrumental in building that spec building
to begin with. Yeah.
And it sat on that hill and had been criticized. It's known as the tomb or the boondoggle and all that. So,
it's kind of bittersweet, right? But like, I'm glad somebody bought the building and is moving in to do business here in Kershaw County. Great. But the way that we went about it was so scummy. that it's hard to be happy about this company.
Yeah, it feels like a dirty deed done dirt cheap.
Exactly. And we lost $1.7 million on this deal.
Yeah.
Now, this Orion Compounds is a subsidiary. Well, what they'll do, let me. Orion Compounds is a company. They spun off this other smaller company to just do the polymers, this special polymer. Right.
Right.
That their only customer is going to be this parent company.
Right.
And businesses do this all the time, and it saves. They can depreciate their assets a lot better in their accounting books. And
also, like this fee in lieu, the fee in lieu always goes with just the property.
Just the property.
And that's what your fee is based on.
6% of the property value.
Yeah, and then everything that you put on that property is non-taxable.
Right.
So exactly. they're going to put $13 million, was it? Or?
Well, the paper, the Chronicle Independent said they invested over $13 million. No, that's what they promised that they were going to invest. They've invested a little over $8 million. Right? So they bought the building, and they've got about $8 million invested so far.
Right, making improvements inside the building and whatever outside the building.
You had to put a damn floor in there. There was no floor.
Yeah.
It was just dirt.
Yeah, it was a dirt floor.
So they're building it to suit their business and their manufacturing process.
Right, right. And you can understand that, but the point is that they're going to be, the fee is based on just that bottom line of the raw land.
The sales value, the value of the land. And if you go on to GIS, which I did, it's valued at, I think, like $244,000 or something crazy.
Yeah.
And so their fee is going to be like $20,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's nothing.
Whereas a small business, when you go and put furniture in your business, it's taxed. The Absolutely. Painting on the walls, say you're a screen printer or something, all of your right. printing machinery and everything is taxed. And all.
The thing that they don't say is a user fees. So the water that they're going to use in the sewer, right? Are they paying user fees on either of them? They never mention that.
Yeah.
And you have to read the fine print of the contract, and which I did read the whole entire contract. I didn't see anything in there about water sewer fees.
What about fire?
Nothing about fire.
You know, one of the things that Lugoff Fire was talking about is the amount that they get from Target doesn't even cover one fireman.
That's right.
And they make a minimum 5 calls a week out there.
Yeah.
So the fee in lieu agreement.
It's a screw job.
Yeah, it's a screw job.
That's all it is. It's basically it's bribery to get businesses to open up here.
Yeah.
Now, these 54 jobs.
Be fair, every county in the nation does it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And the 54 jobs that they promise, that they say we're up to 54 jobs, right? $25 an hour. So that means the guy who's mopping the floors is going to get $25 an hour? No. What they did was average the salaries out.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they said, well, it's an average of $25 an hour. But you're going to have some engineers in there making $150,000 a year.
Or more.
Yeah.
So, or more.
You know, the maintenance guys who are going to be maintaining the equipment will be making a lot more than the people operating the equipment because the people who operate are replaceable.
Yeah, and I would assume that most of it, the production is going to be automated.
I would imagine so.
And that your technicians are going to be coming in from other places.
Yeah, they travel. Yeah, probably traveling. Mm-hmm. Probably out of those 54, you can bet at least 20 of them are going to be in the office. You know, as far as we'll say engineering and administrative, you got to have HR, you have to have some safety people and all that sort of stuff. And then maybe another 5 janitorial, and then you have the maintenance crew. So operators, you may have 15 to 20.
Yeah, yeah, you might see 10 or 15 jobs maybe coming in because of the war in Ukraine.
And the question that I brought up on WIS when Andy came.
Oh, that's right. And Matthew is a star. Yeah, he got on big TV. Yeah. On big TV.
The question I brought up was, how many of these jobs are skilled labor? How many unskilled labor? of those skilled labor jobs, do we have a workforce ready to move in here in Kershaw County? Now they'll tell you, oh yeah, we have the Woolard Technology Center. We're building, we're training up a skilled workforce every day.
Yeah, that's what they try to tell you. You know, come and on. Every
they do little, dog grooming down there.
Well, they teach welding and they teach these kind of things like that. And they teach computer program and all. But guess what? So does down there in Charleston, and so does up there in Greenville, Midlands, and so does Bob's, and so does Arkansas, and so does everybody.
Everybody. Yeah.
And you know what it is, though? It's putting the cost of apprenticeship, which is not really apprenticeship, it's just training.
Yeah.
They're putting the cost on the public.
Absolutely.
And instead of the corporation, where it used to be.
And then you got the Biden bucks, too, the federal government.
Oh, yeah, Biden buck.
They say, well, because of coronavirus, now we're going to pay your tuition to go to tech schools.
Yeah, well, it's free here anyway.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free.
So, yeah, that was my point. You know, I said very clearly, I'm speaking out against the policy of fee in lieu of taxes.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that the vote was already.
It's the principle. Before. It's the principle of equality, and if you're going to steal, you need to do it in a fair way.
Let's steal from everybody.
Yeah, steal from everybody.
Another thing I brought with Andy that didn't make it onto that little segment was, if I'm a small business owner, let's say I wanted to open a brewery up there, do you think I could have gotten a fee loan? You think I could have gotten a fee in lieu of taxes?
I think that's a $2 million minimum.
There's a certain dollar amount investment.
And then
I think it's $6 million.
And then I think that it has to be in one of their industrial parks.
Right. So you have to, yes.
Yeah. And you know, there's been several times when they've moved to make an industrial park just to give somebody a fee in lieu.
Yeah, like the turkey.
The turkey barn. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Same thing.
You know, Prestige Farms is going to give us all these wonderful turkey slaughtering jobs.
Man. So that was it. Hopefully with the incoming council, we can address this issue of fee in lieu of taxes, that we can... You know, I'm all for everybody getting a tax break, for sure.
I'm for a fair tax.
Fair.
Zero.
Tax. Zero. That's the only thing that's fair.
That's only, yeah.
And maybe a flat tax, and we could talk about that, but.
Flat, you know, it's flat on one side. The rest of it's inflated. You know what they do? They'll say, well, we're taking away a tax, and then they'll sneak around and put a fee here and a fee there
fees. You want to discuss this real quick for the Camdenites?
Nope.
Which you
this just in.
Yeah, so the city of Camden had their council meeting, the city meeting, and they're going to drop the fuel surcharge from 5 cents per kilowatt hour to 1.5 cents per kilowatt hour. So in this article here, Jeffrey Graham literally broke his arm, patting himself on the back, saying, I saved you all this money, after he's the one that caused this bullshit in the first place. But that's, you know, typical slumlord politician.
He's a progressive, too.
Yeah.
I love Jeffrey, but he's a damn socialist.
But you know the thing that they are not talking about in here? They said, we've been watching the cost of natural gas, so when the projected price for January dropped from $18 to $13, that's the signal I needed to lower the purchase power adjustment. Okay, so you remember that user fee that they were getting?
Yeah.
There's two fees, right? You had the user fee, and then there was another thing. So they're like, oh, we're going to drop this thing, and you just pay your kilowatt per hour. But now that they're adjusting that kilowatt per hour down to 1.5, that other thing's coming back with a vengeance. And I'm telling you, ask your city councilman. I'm guaranteed that's what's coming. Call Stephen Smoke, call Jeffrey Graham, call Rory, John Rory. I don't know who else is on that council anymore.
Who's the mayor? Drake?
Yeah, but that's a weak mayor, so she don't... It's a weak mayor system.
She's still got a vote.
Yeah, does she? I thought she was just a tie-breaking vote.
I think she votes,
either way, yeah, call her, too. hell, go in there. Use the open door policy for Mr. Rory. Go ask him. See if I'm wrong. But that's a case of, like, watch this hand
bait and
while
switch.
The other hand's doing something different.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, bait and switch. That's one of the oldest tricks in the book.
It's kind
of
like the Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah. All right. What's next, Jeff?
All right, so next we got the agenda debate.
Okay.
All right. You know, right at the beginning, a little background, the original meeting was scheduled for the regular Tuesday.
Right.
And Julie Burns found out he didn't have a quorum. There wasn't going to be enough people there.
Yeah.
You have to have four people there.
Four people, right.
And so he scrambled around, and then he called him.
The reason why they couldn't get a quorum, Brant Tomlinson had a trip out of the country planned before he was appointed by the governor to his seat that he won. So he took that seat early, but he already had this trip planned. Jimmy Jones was sick with the flu, and Russell Brazzle was on a hunting trip.
On a business trip
to South Dakota
to look at a big saw that they're going to put in to the building that they're building for the under the fee and lieu agreement,
right,
too.
Right. So that left three councilmen not present for the meeting. Ben Connell resigned his seat at the last meeting because he was elected to the House of Representatives, the State House, whatever you want
to call it. So it left Sammy, Tom Gardner, and Julie Burns,
right,
would have been sitting there by themselves.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't have been able to form a quorum,
correct,
and open a meeting.
Right. So they were scrambling trying to figure out when they could do it. The level-headed people on that conversation were saying, let's do it next week. Let's just do it next Tuesday at 5:30. No, we need to do it now. How about 10 a.m. Thursday? Right? And so media, when I saw that, I called Danny Templer, I called Mary, I said, is the council chambers booked for 5:30 on Thursday? And they're, I don't know. I have to check the schedule. I have to see. We'll see. We'll see. And I'm like, hey, I texted Jimmy Jones. He finally texted me back for a meeting. There's nothing scheduled for 5:30 on Thursday. So the question is, why did they have to do this at 10 o'clock in the morning?
And why did they have to do it as quickly as possible?
The same week. And I'll tell you why. Because of this sewer shit, they went into an executive session. We're going to talk about that later. Is that on the list?
No, I don't.
They wanted to go into
list.
This executive session because they were going to get sued by Great Southern Homes, who wants to build 431 houses.
Listen up, people.
431 houses on McCord's Ferry Road off 601 on the south end of I-20. It's going to be... So the planning and zoning rejected it, 431 houses, rejected it, saying, we can't handle this kind of growth. You're going to come build all these houses. We don't have anywhere for these kids to go to school, the sewers, all this sort of stuff. Great Southern Home says, well, we met all your requirements according to your economic development plan. We met all your requirements. So we're
according to whose economic development plan?
Julie Burns,
Sammy Tucker, and Tom Gardner.
Which was soundly rejected during the primaries.
Yeah.
The people did not want that shit. So they went to executive session, hey, they're going to sue us. How about we settle for 391 homes instead of 431? And that's what happened. Now you're going to get 391 of Great Southern Homes fine construction built off 601. And this neighborhood stretches from 601, where McCord's Ferry crosses, all the way over to Highway 12.
All the way to Percival Road.
So where did we hear that before? Highway 12 and Fort Jackson Road.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the Southern Loop is, right? Where the pipe needs to be.
Oh, isn't that kind of interesting?
Well, we can't handle the pump station. We need a pump station to handle more. So now they're going to build 40 homes because that's all that can be handled on that sewer.
The 40 homes right now until the Southern Loop is complete. And when the Southern Loop is complete and they build out, we will be over capacity and the sewer system.
So here's how it works. The piping is done. We paid $2 million something, $2.3 million to get that done. We paid cash. It's done. So now, with that increased flow capacity, because you, inside of a pipe you have what's called friction loss. When the water is passing through the inside of that pipe, it creates friction, right? But when you open up that pipe, you can have more gallons per minute flowing through there.
Right.
So with that increased gallons per minute, now it's putting a strain on the Judy pump station, which is only a, I think, 200 or 300 gallon per minute pump. So now, of course, we got to upgrade the pumping station, right? So we upgrade the pumping station. What do you have to do beyond that?
Yeah.
You got to increase the diameter of the pipe again.
You got to go all the way down, down 601, head to down Latchcott, cut across, and hit the sewer treatment plant.
That's right.
Which up is Highway 5.
So now the sewer treatment plant, which the capacity went down because Okmitsui, or who is that down there? The Japanese company.
Sakura, right? Or Yutaka.
Huh?
Yutaka? I don't know what it is called now.
So it's a Japanese name, Japanese-owned company. They make, like, seat belts for cars and shit.
Yeah.
But they're cutting their usage down, so there's less water flowing through the pipes. All right? Now we're going to add 40 homes up to 391, which is going to increase the volume inside that pipe, which will overburden that Judy pump station. So they're going to need a higher GPM pump, gallons per minute. Then we're going to have to increase the diameter of the pipe beyond that to handle that pump, so we won't have a log jam right there. I guess log, you could, you know, pun intended. And now it's going to go on to the water treatment plant, which is already at 80%. 80%, according to DHEC and the EPA, is maxed out, because if you have heavy rains and flooding, you need to allow for more water to be flowing into the sewer systems.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to add another, you could buy the whole package, the treatment tank, right? 4 million gallons per day. But if you buy one, what I was told, you might as well just go ahead and buy two, because you're going to fill that one up, so you're going to hopefully get a discount, get up it, right?
What basically is happening is this county council has got us into a bind.
All you have to do is look at the dominoes falling.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Southern Loop project, the neighborhoods moving in, increasing the flow, increasing the volume. So you need a pump, new pump, that to handle that volume. Now, in order to push it past that pump, you need a greater diameter pipe. And now it's going to be
we understand. But what led up to this in the first place is when Julie Burns came in 2015.
Yeah.
And when they started with this Vision 2030, 2020, and then
push 2030. Right.
And the Council of Governments got involved, where they just want all the growth that they can get.
Yes.
In spite of what they say in the vision of it, is that they want to remain rural and all this kind of stuff. They don't. Because government expands when there's roofs being built.
That's right. There's more money coming in.
That's right.
What are we going to do with all this money? We've got to spend it. We need to build more parks.
Yeah.
We need a tournament, a baseball tournament facility.
Yeah.
$14 million. Yes. That's nothing. We pay for that.
Yeah. And that's why this next council is all about recreation. And as these houses are built,
where are they going to play soccer at, Jeff?
Yeah.
We need some soccer fields.
For the kids.
We need lights up so they can play at night. And then, you know, well, we need facilities for them to use bathrooms.
Well, Jimmy Jones' long time wet dream has always been to hold the Little League World Series. Man. That's what he talked about when he was pushing Westwater Reed. Mm. Boys and girls, you got to listen to me now. Jimmy Jones, it was four great big Westwater Reed Park and baseball fields and all this kind of stuff. And then he doesn't like the swamp park, and he doesn't like the big building. But he's picking and choosing instead of going back down to the fundamental. Is this government's job?
That's the question I asked. We're in the real estate business, real estate speculation business, right? We're buying up property and building spec buildings. And then we're also in the recreation business, where we want to bring in baseball tournaments to make money for the county. And then we're in the transportation business now because we got the bus running.
The trash business.
The trash business, yeah. And the water.
We're in the protection racket.
Protection racket, yeah.
Well, so government continues to either own or control the economy.
And that's really, you're electing these people and then you don't pay attention to what they do while they're in office. And this is what we're trying to do with this show is say, you have to pay attention to these people because if you don't pay attention to them, they're going to run roughshod over everything. They're going to just think, well, I'm elected, so I've got to do something.
Yeah.
Let's build a park.
Yeah. Well, you know, it just blows my mind that three people can put all the people of Kershaw County into a $2.7 million debt. Ladies and gentlemen, it could have been a $50 million.
Yeah.
You see what this is all leading to is $50 million sewer plant.
Yeah, absolutely.
And because we said yes back in the early 90s, mm-hmm. late 80s, early 90s, in a referendum to start a sewer company, they don't have to come to you no more. All they have to have is four people to form a quorum, and three of those can borrow $50, $100 million, as much as our credit rating will bear.
And you can go to the county council meeting and scream all you want.
All you want.
They're going to have the sheriff drag you out of there, or they're going to shut it down and go to recess, and then when you calm down and start behaving yourself, they'll go back and vote that shit in right in.
Yeah, we need to have a referendum on any expenditure, any bond, any debt
definitely
that is incurred.
But oh, do we really trust the voters though? To
what else are you gonna do besides just ban the whole thing?
Yeah. Well, that's an idea.
Well, you know me. I'm an anarchist.
Yeah.
But how do you get there?
Right.
You got to cut government. And in order to do that, you got to put the chains on them. Mm-hmm. And boys and girls, we need to put the chains on these boys. I don't care who's in there. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it's me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say, I think we ought to borrow $50 million to build a sewer plant. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would rather that go in front of the voters and a majority, and then I could say, well, they said no or they said yes, and I wouldn't be blamed for the snafu,
right.
The unintended consequences that's going to lead to.
Right. And what people don't understand is if you expand the water treatment plant, it's like what if you, throw a party but nobody comes? Right. So say they build this water treatment plant and they don't have the customers to justify that amount of gallons. You know what they're going to do is go to Richland County and say, hey, you give us some of that money, we'll take your shit and we'll clean it.
Well, they'll make whatever dirty deal that they can.
Oh, yeah. They're going to do because they're like, oh, my God, we're not profitable anymore. We need to make money. So a lot of people will say, well, we're making money every year. Okay, if we're making money every year, why the hell do we take out this damn loan?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, this is going to be another boondoggle, another scam ran on the people. Hopefully, this new county council, when they go in, they will do what they were elected to do. That's to undo what Julian Burns had been doing for the last 8 years.
To quit.
Just stop this shit.
Stop.
Yeah.
Pay off all our debts.
Right.
Save. Well, if you're going to expand something, save your money.
Just
and
like,
do your little expansion.
Like when they first brought it up, I said, who runs their household like this? Spends cash to pay for something, then goes out and get a loan to pay myself back.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're just paying interest on that money. It's totally asinine.
Well, and if this was a business, you might would borrow because this is going to make you money.
Right.
But that's not really, government is not a business.
Exactly.
Government is a monopoly, monopoly on force. It's a mafia.
Yeah.
Whether you got angels running the damn thing or devils running this thing, it's a mafia. It steals to get everything that it has, and it forces people to do things.
That's right.
Al Capone couldn't compete.
And, you know, a lot of people don't understand when we say that it's ruled by force, you know, like the tax system. You're stealing my money. Well, if you don't pay your taxes, eventually somebody's showing up with a gun and they're going to lock you in the cage.
Yeah.
Or kill you.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how hard you want to fight them.
Yeah, so people justify it by saying, oh, I'm glad to pay taxes. It helps to poke people. Oh, my rules.
All right. You got another clip to play?
Why don't we move on to the sewer?
All right.
So we got the debate about the sewer and all stretched over into the auditor was there with his auditing report.
No findings.
No findings, and everything's okay and honky-dory and all. Well, Russell is still thinking about this sewer bond that he's going to vote on later on in the meeting.
Yes, sir.
And so he starts to ask the auditor questions, and this is what he says.
Can we talk about specifically our sewer fund? It's an enterprise fund. I just want to walk through it real quick. Do you have time to?
Sure.
I want to make sure I understand. We've got a $250,000 debit.
What page are you on, Russell?
21.
On page 21.
We can just as Mr. Tucker said, we can discuss that later. I'm real big on, we've got three funds, two are enterprise funds, and then
something was real
we've got our general fund.
That he brought up was that debit for $250,000.
Yeah.
So the auditor just got through saying there was no findings. Nothing was found to be out of order.
Well, he was going to have to go back and see where what that was.
Well, and Russell said there's a debit for $250,000 out of this enterprise fund that was moved to the general fund. Why was that done? They're not supposed to touch that money. And they are, I don't know. I'll have to go back and look. And Danny Temple's, I don't know. That was before my time, and we'll see. And I'll tell you, I know for a fact that Jimmy Jones and the county administrator, they're looking into why that money was moved, who moved it, who authorized it. that, to me, is a finding. That says something right there. So that was like, okay, well, we'll deal with that. Moving on, Russell starts going into the different accounts and what, like, income.
How they ought to be segregated is what he's making his point about. They have to be segregated.
Yes.
They should be segregated.
Enterprise funds.
Yeah.
So just like EMS, they're an enterprise fund. The money that they bring in from transporting people to the hospital and treating them, that's what funds the EMS service in this county.
Right.
Just same with the sewer. The user fees are what fund the sewer, as it should be.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm real big on those being independent and incapable of standing on their own two feet. We got rid of the tax for the sewer.
No, paid off the bond.
Fund. So the
they paid off the bond. They didn't get rid of any tax. The bond was paid off. It was matured. They paid it off. So now, those of us who don't have a sewer, aren't connected to the sewer, we're not paying for the sewer anymore.
Right.
Which to me was highway robbery.
Right. Well, they passed an ordinance that did away with that payment, and then switched to a user fee.
Correct.
Is what they did, but it
which is what it should have been.
It was just because the bond. The original bond was paid off.
By us who don't even use
the
sewer.
Yeah, it's not like Julie reached in his pocket and did the damn thing, which he wants everybody to
think. Yeah, that's his legacy, right?
Public pays no tax, only the users pay for the service. I'd like to make sure moving forward to be fiscally responsible that the revenues from user fees and that sort of thing, stay in that fund. It looks.
Yeah, and let me, to your point, Councilman Brazel, let me show you that. If you look at above that where it says operating income of almost $7 million for the sewer.
Right.
So your sewer fees come in at $4 million. Your total operating expenses were $2.3 million. So you had a positive operating income of almost $1.7 million. So I think that shows you that your fees are covering your cost.
Right.
Right there. The fees are more than covering the cost. Yep. And actually, there's a $1.7 million profit every year. But we need to take out a $2.7 million loan from the state. You see where this isn't adding up?
And the cherry is, or the carrot is, 1.5 or 1.6% interest.
Right. Oh, that's such a great interest rate. We can't pass this up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how when you get a credit card, if you're dumb enough to use credit cards, but they say 0% interest. 0%. Miss one payment and watch what happens.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you got 20% interest.
Well, what's interesting is this 1.6%, right? Well, where did that money come from? Well, it come from the Fed,
right?
The Federal Reserve, actually, right. And the government gets it. Well, now they're going to be paying 5%,
mm-hmm.
right? Them boys up in the swamp going to rob you to pay 5% while they loan Kershaw County money for 1.5%.
So they're throwing us crumbs to keep us quiet about them stealing from us and deflating our dollar.
Yeah. Yeah, and central planning.
That's exactly what it is.
Central planning.
Straight out of Soviet Russia.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the way this goes.
So you have a $4 million income, $2.3 million worth of expenses every year. That's, you know, upkeep and salaries and whatnot, fuel.
Right.
$1.7 million profit. That money just goes into the sewer fund.
Right. That's why we've got $3.3 million.
So he says here later on, are you going to get to it where he says recommended emergency funds?
Yeah. Okay, let's hit it and see what happens.
So to continue down that trail, I want to make sure that all capital projects and improvements that we make are funded through the sewer fund, and nothing's taken from anywhere else, and I think that's definitely the case. How much money do we have in the sewer fund in reserve status, and does that affect our total reserves, the $8.5 million that we were just speaking of?
$8.5 million is just general fund. So your unrestricted reserves for sewer is 3.3. That's on page 20.
All right. Unrestricted funds, meaning it's just extra money sitting in there. $3.3 million.
Yeah, $8 million. The county has
right
overall. The sewer fund has $3.3 million.
That's a big chunk of money, a percentage of that pie.
Yeah, right?
That's a big piece of the pie. All right, he's going to explain.
Okay, so we have $3.3 million unrestricted in our sewer fund. Is that correct? Danny, do we have any projects that we need to pay for? Other than the bond revenue that we're voting on today?
God bless Russell Bradzell for asking that question.
Hey, I got to hand it to Russell here.
That was great.
He's asking the right questions.
Exactly. He knows the answer to that question.
Yeah, he already
knows.
That's
the way it should be done. You educate yourself on the matter you're going to speak on, and you ask questions that you already know the answer to, so that way you can see who's lying.
Yeah, you can also put them on the spot because you know what to bring up and put in the public forum.
Absolutely. I wish he would have turned to Julian Burns and asked him that question. That would have been the only way you could have made it better. So good job.
You and Julie Burns.
Good job, Burns. Well, I would have liked to see him stumble and stutter a lot.
Well, I can't say that I don't blame you. Let's listen.
That'd be the phase 2A of Southern Loop.
Mm.
But is there anything else?
I mean, there's always going to be something. Part of the system is old, and it we'll have 30, 60 feet of line crumble. So there's kind of these flash issues that come up. But as far as projects beyond the scope of Southern Loop and the eventual upgrade that we'll need.
What's the minimum? I'm sorry, Mr. Jones had something.
Mr. Jones, do you have a comment?
I didn't mean to interrupt. I was saying also we have to look at expansion as well, too.
Yeah. Right. The future, correct.
Jimmy makes that point right there, the same point that we're making.
Yep.
we're adding this capacity, we're already at 80%.
Which is max.
Which is max according capacity. To the feds.
Right.
And if we're adding more and more, they're going back and looking for capacity.
Like you said, it's a $35 to $50 million project to increase capacity.
So they're setting us up. They're setting us up for a huge, huge bond.
Absolutely. And that will have to be countywide. Do you think they're going to use the user fees to fund that, to pay that back?
That'll be a countywide project.
It'd have to be.
Yeah. You could not...
Then we're going to be
You could not fee your way to a $50 million project.
No.
Even with a 30-year bond, right, with the amount of customers that they have.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. It's impossible.
Not with $8 million or $4 million worth of income. Yeah.
And then if they do it, how many boxes can Southern Homes fill up the rest of the land on the west side of the Wateree,
right,
and ride over around in the big horse farms around Camden?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to live in Columbia? Well, it's about to.
Yeah.
Oh, it's convenient. You got McDonald's right here.
And another one across the street.
Yeah, I hear somebody, I want a Texas Roadhouse. I want this and that.
Cook
well, drive
damn
to damn
steak.
Columbia. Mm-hmm.
Go to Old
You
should have
moved to Columbia instead of moving to Kershaw County.
Yeah, all these people moving out, they want to, they go back to Columbia or Florence or wherever the hell you
Yeah, they all want it. So let's see what Russell goes on to say.
All right.
So, just as you were saying, 3 to 4 months, or 3 to 6 months rather, is our minimum in the other fund is a bottom. What's our bottom in this sewer fund? What are we comfortable having as a minimum amount of money? In case of emergency, that sort of thing, we have a line break or whatever.
I would say you need probably at least 6 months in a sewer fund for utility, because if you have a major pump station or anything like that go down, you're not talking a few thousand dollars, you're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars. So I always tell people that are in the utility business, not that you can't have too high reserves, because you can, but you certainly need reserves, because the older your system gets, you're going to constantly have lines going out. You got to replace lines. And then, you know, if you've got a pump station that goes out, or two of them go out, those are some major expenditures that, you don't want to have to go and borrow every time that happens. You want to be able to have reserves on hand that you can make those repairs. So
this is like the Chicken Little approach. The sky is falling.
What
if you have two pump stations? Well, shit. What if the whole damn every line in the
county
collapses?
What if the earthquake happens and, we've been having earthquakes around lately. And,
so,
and
6 months, let's say. How much is six months worth of emergency funds?
Yeah, and that's what Russell ends up going and talking about.
So let's hear.
So
I would say at a minimum you would need 6 months.
So it's like $191,000 a month if I take the total operating expenses and divide by 12. So we would probably need $1 million, roughly $1.1 million, something like that, $1.2 million.
Hey, how strange.
Probably at least.
Okay.
So I think
let's say $1.5 million, right?
Yeah.
Let's say we do $1.5 million in emergency savings. We're gonna pay, how much was in the account?
Well, right now there's $3.3 million in reserves, and he says that we need $1.2 million in emergency, right? That leaves $2.1 million.
That's crazy, man. That's almost like we have enough money to fund the Southern Loop project in cash again.
Yeah, without borrowing any money, whether it be 1.5% or not.
So what is the rush to get
what
this money?
What is the rush? Matthew, you get nailed it on the head. It's boxes.
That's right.
Oh, we're going to get sued because we didn't see this coming.
We're going to get sued over these.
It's an emergency. It's an emergency. That's what Julie Burns is. It's an emergency. It's an emergency. It's an emergency.
You know what Russell Brazel said when Julian brought that up? This is an executive session, closed session. Julian Burns said that we have to do this because we're going to get sued. Russell Brazel said, let them sue us. Okay, sue us.
Yeah, sue us. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
So then, Russell and Jimmy voted no. Like, screws Great Southern Homes. They want to sue us. But the other three, of course, the three are one, you know.
Well, that's what was critical in this leading up to this. They knew Brant wasn't going to be there.
Absolutely.
They knew Russell wasn't going to be there, but Mike would have called in.
Yeah.
They
were planning on
Jimmy being there. Mm-hmm. And they were planning on them three being there. This was planned from the get-go. 100%. And as soon as Jimmy called in sick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we better hurry up. We need a...
Holy crap.
A monkey wrench in there, didn't
Yeah.
We? All right, let's see what Russell has to say. Let's finish this up.
Point is, we're taking money out of that fund that we're not sure where it went.
$250,000.
We've got $3.3 million in reserves. So that basically would give us $2 million to spend on any kind of expansion. Do you think it'd be foolish to spend some of that money instead of taking this bond out? And that's a...
Now listen to what this fellow says now. Be very careful.
I wouldn't recommend it. As the administrator, I wouldn't recommend it with the our borrowing capability with this SRF loan. It's such a 1.6%. It's the 10-year life of the loan. It's $273,000 in interest.
$273,000 in interest. Now, see, the administrator, yeah. Danny is saying, we can't beat the interest
That's
rate.
That's pennies, man. $273,000.
Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket. Well, that's a month and a half, a month and a half of their income.
The income, yeah.
They get $191,000 a month.
Yeah.
Right. What we figure, it was $142,000 profit per month. So how fast could you pay $273,000? You're only 2 months.
and then the refund the money that we spent on the expansion, what did it take? 2 years, we figured?
Yeah, why did they want to borrow that much to have that much in reserve?
I'll tell you why. Because there's another damn neighborhood coming right around the corner. Another one after that, and another one after that.
Yeah, yeah. They're moving. So then we got Sammy. He comes up, and this is his justification for the bond and all.
Right.
So hit it there, Sammy.
Please. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Brazel, I'm tracking where you're looking at into this audit and a reference to what we have, and it's roughly about $2 million there. If you remember...
3.2.
Yeah, you remember last meeting, as we were going down this, I asked that question, bless you, was there any penalties that paid off early, and we were told by the bond attorney, no. I feel with the administrator, with the process that you have to go through, the timing and the rate, if you don't take advantage of this now, I think you would be blowing opportunity and draining our reserves there in the sewer fund down to a level that I feel unsafe as one governing person in this body.
All right. So you have to take into account who's speaking here. All right. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
It's the rate.
Right. It's like it's like a mattress sales. You're crazy to pass up these deals, right? You must be crazy.
And notice he says that because of the what you gotta go through and because of the timing.
Yeah.
In other words, he's saying it's an emergency. Like if we don't do it right now, you won't get this deal.
Well, I don't know if it's on here, but somebody asked the question.
That's what Russell asked.
Is it
Russell asked in here, and the guy says, no. The bond attorney comes up and says, no. You can do it after
because
the first
this
year.
Loan was originally awarded back in 2020.
Yeah, it's been
2 years.
It's been 2 years.
What's another month? You know, and I wonder, did the COG have anything to do with this loan application or finding this loan or helping us get this loan?
Yes.
Oh, that's weird, huh?
Yeah.
Who
the Council of Governments, and that's Julie Burns and Sammy Tucker.
There you go.
Sammy's been on there since way back.
We worked so hard to get this money.
Yeah, we worked so hard.
You owe it. You owe it to us.
Yeah, and so they're pushing this agenda right now. Right now. Because they're scared that the new council will come in and do it the right way, proper way.
And just have no need for the COG.
And no need for the COG at all. Mm-hmm. And rework the planning and zoning to where it does put more restrictions.
A comprehensive plan even, maybe. Ooh,
yeah.
That's scary.
Ooh, great day. And do away with an industrial park or two.
Whoa.
Quit building, spec buildings. Oh my God!
What about the parks?
Maybe
they'll finish a park. Maybe they'll try to finish instead of just buying it and putting some shit. Yeah.
I don't know. The new council's probably going to go for recreation, YMCA's and baseball fields.
We'll see.
Movie stars.
We'll see. I think we're ready for that fight if it comes.
Because lines and pumps break. This is an antiquated old system. And it was given back to council in that condition. And we've been working on it since I've been up here and even before I got here. So things come up unexpectedly and there's no way you'll get this bond rate or move through. You see how long it's taken us to get through the third reading with all the steps we have to take to process. In time of emergency.
Emergency. It's an emergency.
It's
Jeff.
An emergency. He got that from Henry McMaster and Donald Trump when they declared their emergency.
Right.
That still has not been sunsetted, by the way.
This isn't even the closing remarks for the day. This is just him trying to justify putting the people of this county in debt to the state.
Yeah.
And remember what the Bible says. The borrower is slave to the lender.
Yep.
So he is putting us in chains, enslaving us to the state.
Yeah, yeah, because
right?
It's 1.6%.
Mm-hmm.
The devil is offering 1.6%.
Hey.
If you do it the devil
not
way.
To take it, right?
Yeah, be stupid not to take this. It's the deal of a century.
Well, because it's an emergency, that's what he's saying. We need to support this. I'm going to support this tonight.
Yeah, yeah.
Today.
Yeah, because it's an emergency.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy Jones comes back at him with a little taste of what's really going on.
All right.
Go ahead there, JJ.
I thought Mr. Brazel was very sharp in bringing up some discussion. I understand he did not form an opinion, but he brought up some very interesting matters within just a few minutes that I think that council moving forward next year can look at, or I would like to have the opportunity to at least do that before they go creating another debt, because we do have an old system. There's going to be many, many things that needs to be done for the upkeep and the expansion. And yet there's not been a whole lot of exploring other options rather than, oh, we got a good bond rate. Well, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know that we won't have a good bond rate 5 months from now. Nobody can say that. But, you know, I wish we'd slow down, because I think in interest, we're going to be paying how much interest in this by the time we finish paying for it?
What's the interest rate, Mr. Jones is asking?
The rate.
$273,000 for the life of it.
What's the rate?
1.6.
You can't do better than that. Back to you, Mr. Jones.
Yes.
Huh?
Can't do better than that.
Yeah, they keep coming back to the 1.5. Yeah. 1.5, 1.5.
My car, I got 0% on my car.
Yeah.
You can do better than that.
Yeah, and what's the hurry? Jimmy said that let's wait until the new council at least five times.
Mm-hmm.
At least five times. Mm-hmm. Russell agreed it should be the next council. It should be the next
Both
council.
Both of them are going on to the next council.
Yeah, yeah. And then, To make it clear to everybody what really tells everything what they're after is Sammy, when he comes back and says the reasons that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
Rewrite of the comprehensive plan and the CLTR, and that is proceeding. which would impact zoning going forward in the future. So with that, we move to a vote. Mr. Jones, how do you vote?
I vote no.
All the others in favor signify by raising your hand. Mr. Tucker, Mr. Gardner, Mr. Burns, and opposed here is Mr. Brazel. Mr. Brazel and Mr. Jones are in the negative, Mary. So we had the vote and motion passes 3-2. Thank you very much.
Pause it right here. So I was talking to Brad Tomlinson on the phone when this vote was coming up. He was coming through TSA. And I said, call me back immediately as soon as you get. Hurry up. Because Brent voted no on the second reading. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
If he would have voted this time, I talked to him on the phone just before we started recording. He would have voted no again. That would have been 3-3. What happens to a tie?
It dies.
It dies. So I was sitting in the crowd with my phone in my ear. I leaned forward and told Danny Templer, I said, hey, we got... I got Brant on the phone, man. Can we get him to vote? And he actually said it, but they said no. We got to move on. I held my phone up. I got the man on the phone right here. He wants to vote, and they just ignored me and kept carrying on.
Yeah, they had to have this.
Have to
pass.
They had to because they made. I guarantee. This is just me speculating. I guarantee they made some promises that they were scared that they weren't going to be able to keep.
Yeah. Yeah, there were some dirty deeds done dirt cheap.
Damn right.
That's the whole point of this, mm-hmm. is and the fact that they are able to borrow this kind of money with just three people,
67.
I mean, even four 67, would be
67,000 people in this county.
67,000, and three people
put us in debt.
Just railroaded $2.7 million down in our throats. Yep. Obligated 67,000 people to do this. One thing that our next county council ought to do is pass their own ordinance that says we're going to put some kind of spending, $500,000 or more on any capital project, has to go before the voters.
Hey, that'd be great.
If they did that.
That's at least what we have voting as primaries. We had 14,000 people voted, something like that, in the primaries. So, hey, 14,000 is better than four.
Yeah. what would would more people go to the poll if a referendum was on there about $1 million bond, a $50 million bond, a $100 million bond, if they had to go before the people in a referendum, yeah, for a brand new sewer plant,
justify it.
Would we vote for it? I don't think we would at this point.
I don't think so. Not Thursday. Not.
And I think that's why they don't want to even discuss it. That's why they ramrodded it. Yep. And they were getting back at the voters.
I believe so.
For pushing aside their agenda. That's the way progressives are. Yeah. They go for revenge, mm-hmm, because you don't believe in their do-goodness.
Right. And they're the minority. The progressives like this, they're in the minority. The real disgusting thing about these people in particular in a council, that most of them say that they're Republicans or they're conservatives, fiscal conservatives and all that shit, but they're straight up pushing a Marxist agenda right in front of our faces, thinking we're too stupid to realize.
Yeah, we've all come to realize that R and D don't mean anything.
Nothing.
The R and D is out to screw you and me.
Right.
And until we realize that, and come in there and put the chains on them, if this new council is going to be under pressure to do things totally different than what they're doing now.
Which is their mandate.
That's their mandate. No more big government bullcrap.
Yeah. People need to show up for the first meeting.
No more bribes from the federal government.
Yeah. No more deals for your friends.
No more deals with you. Yeah. No more dirty deeds.
No more dirty deeds.
Done dirt cheap. Yes. 1.6% my ass.
This was fun, dude.
Yeah.
New concept. We're trying a new way of doing things.
Yeah, it's kind of rough and all, but, we'll go stumble around and maybe we'll get it right. So I hope you guys enjoyed it.
This is going to be available on your YouTube channel.
Yeah, and on Rumble.
And then we'll post links on Facebook. And we'll share.
Hit the like button, hit the subscribe, notification bell, and all that crap that everybody always says.
Yeah.
And, help us out. Know.
Well, let's get more people in Kershaw County involved in this conversation. You notice I'm holding my tongue. I'm not cussing as much. I'm not shit-talking anybody. Just keeping it.
Look, we're all in the same boat.
Yeah.
We're all in the same boat.
And it's
same. And if we don't do something, if we don't do something to protect ourselves from this government, mm-hmm. they're going to track, trace, and probably get your first young.
Yeah. I mean, they almost got mine.
Yeah.
Luckily, he got out.
Huh? Quick as possible. Got mine.
So, thanks for watching, folks. Leave your comments. We'll read them. And try not to get our feelings hurt.
Yeah. Adios, amigos.
Bye.
And that some of you guys are going off the end of this month. The people that did vote for you, which was the majority that put you in his office, did not put you in his office to govern for 3 years and 11 months. We must continue the people's business as this agenda is outlined. But to stop governing just because you're in your last weeks of as an elected official is not what you signed up for. And I truly believe in that. This is not Washington, D.C., where you are lame ducks. We're closest to the people as you can get here by being county officials and city officials and local elected folks. So for those reasons, I will not support this amendment. Dirty deeds, dirty deeds.